Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, as we look forward to today and as we look back at 2016, oftentimes what happens is we look back at our own lives and we look at this last year, and there's such a wide gamut of experiences from all different walks of life, all different seasons that, you know, some of you might look back at 2016 and it might be a painful year. It might be a hard year, a year in which you experienced loss or hardship or something like that. And others, it might be a wonderful year. It might have been a banner year for you where you had abundance and just life was good and the sun was shining, it seems. So it's difficult to land any one area or any one thought for that year. But we look back at 2016, the thing that we can all come to agreement on, depending on, regardless of where we are in looking back at the year, is looking forward to 2017. You see, there's always something about that new year. There's this sense of the unknown, this uncertainty of what this year might bring. Maybe last year was a bad year, and you look at 2017 with hopes that this year is going to be my year. It's the year where things are going to change. Or maybe 2016 was good and you say, well, man, I want 2017 to continue on what 2016 began. And we look forward to the year at the very beginning of the year, and we do things that culturally we do looking at this year. So we take a look at our lives and we say, what is it about our own lives that we want to make better? And so what we do is we make these things, we call them resolutions, right? And you make that commitment. I'm going to change the way I eat, and I'm going to go on that diet that I've been talking about going, or I'm finally going to go to the gym and start working out and get healthy or exercise, or, you know, and I'm going to spend more time with my loved ones and less time on the internet, or, you know what, I'm going to read books this year. Okay, maybe I'm going to read a book this year. Maybe I'll just read something this year. All right, and we make these resolutions to better our lives, and, you know, our lives. And I think it's a good thing. I used to tell my friends when they would ask me, what's your New Year's resolution? I'd tell them, you know, my New Year's resolution is to not make any more resolutions, because I was so tired of making resolutions and then like 3 days later breaking that resolution or forgetting all about it, going right back to the pattern of life. But, you know, I think there's something really good about making resolutions, and that is the fact that we look at our lives, we look at what's going on in our lives, and we say, okay, what's the good and the bad, and what's the ups and the downs, and what do we want to do in our own lives to better ourselves, to make something in our lives better, either for ourselves or for those around us. And I encourage you, maybe you don't want to make resolutions because they're cliche and because you know you'll probably break it, like Pastor Dan encouraged you to break that diet today and start tomorrow, and you might break it, or you might not follow through with it, or it may not work out, or you might have jumped too far into the deep end and went to the gym and worked out way too hard the first time and said, I don't want to do this ever again and never go back. But I would encourage you, you know what? I think they're a good thing, because it's a sense of looking on the inside of us saying, what in my life can I do to improve this year? In the business world, they call it the continuous process improvement, where you continually look at it and say, what can I improve upon? How can I be better? But we're not talking about self-betterment, and I don't want to talk just about making our lives better, but I do want to encourage you, whatever that resolution is that you might make, I hope you keep it. I hope you stick to it. I hope you really press forward and be resolute and be resolved about doing something this year that you have not yet done in your life, or going to that next level in your life. And today, as this, in the few minutes that we have left today in the service, I just want to share with you something that I believe that God impressed upon my heart as I was thinking about my resolutions and I was thinking about the things that I wanted to do, and I was just reading God's word, and I just felt something came alive in my life and through God's word that I wanted to share with you today. So as we get into God's word today, looking forward to 2017 and thinking about what is it this year that we want to do differently, what is it this year that we want to improve upon, let's ask God to speak to each and every one of us in this place today. Would you join me? Let's just pray real quickly. Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today. Lord, we don't come for tradition. We come to hear from you and you alone. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, your will, your desire for us. And we give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. If you've got your Bibles, I want to take you to where I believe God impressed upon my heart, John the third chapter. John the third chapter is a very famous chapter in the Bible. Almost everybody who's ever read the Bible at any given point point in time has come across John chapter 3, verse number 16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And John chapter 3 is really the discourse or the narrative of a story between a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus who comes to Jesus with some questions and with some thoughts. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, truly, we believe that you are from God because nobody can do the things that you do if you're not sent from God. And Jesus replies right back to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And it begins this discourse of confusion to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, what does that mean? What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, what is the thing, what is born of the flesh is flesh, is physical. That which is born of the spirit is of the spirit, is the unseen. And he says, I'm not speaking of your physical rebirth, but rather a spiritual rebirth to be created new in the eyes and the image of God in your spirit and in your soul. And he talks about being born again. You've heard probably us talk about that here at the church. We believe wholly in that. And so in that conversation, Jesus begins to talk to Nicodemus. And then Jesus says these words. He says that God sent his son down. The Son of Man is what he referred to himself as. He sent him from heaven down to earth. And then Jesus says this in this conversation, a very peculiar statement that Jesus was talking to this religious leader about. And he says in verse number 14, he says, just like Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted. I thought, wow, what an interesting statement that is. And he goes on in verse number 15, he says that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. It's kind of this out of left field type statement in the middle of this conversation. It's like, whoa, Jesus, what are you talking about? We're talking about one thing and then you're talking about a story of old. And Jesus was referring to a story of the Exodus of Egypt. And you can find this story in Numbers, the 21st chapter. And if you're not familiar with it, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been living in Egypt for many years, centuries really. And their population had grown and Egypt had eventually enslaved them and brought them to slavery to do their work for them. And there was a man by the name of Moses who was led by God to deliver the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We call them Hebrews. And the Hebrews were on their way out of Egypt. Maybe you saw that movie, Ten Commandments, or you saw The Prince of Egypt or something like that, that cartoon, and you might know some of the stories. And there they miraculously left Egypt after the 10 plagues, and they went through the Red Sea, and they were led by Moses, who was led by God. And Moses brought them to the borders of what we would call the Promised Land in the Bible. And the Promised Land to us is modern day Israel. It was the land in which God had promised Abraham centuries before. Now it was their season to come into this promise of God, but they weren't ready yet. They weren't prepared yet, and they failed the test that God had put them through. And so God said, I'm going to send you to the wilderness to wander for 40 years until the generation that is being raised up now is ready and prepared. And he encouraged them and he equipped them for 40 years. He trained them through their hearts, through the experiences that they went to be the people who he had desired and designed them to be. And so it's in this period of wilderness wandering that the people began to speak poorly of Moses, and they began to speak poorly of God. And in this, because of their grumblings and because of their complainings, God's wrath came upon them, and there were snakes that came from the wilderness into their camps. Now, if you're like me at all, I hate snakes. I don't care if it's a good snake. I don't care if it eats rodents. If I see a snake, you will hear me scream like a little girl, and one of two things will happen right after that. I will run as fast as I can, or I will jump as high as I possibly can. It's just a natural reaction. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so snakes come into the camp and they're biting the people, and these are poisonous snakes, and so the people are getting bit by these poisonous serpents and they're dying. Lots of people are dying. I mean, talk about a miserable judgment. So the people of God, they cry out to God and they say, God, forgive us. We've sinned. We recognize that. We acknowledge that. And God goes to Moses and Moses cries out to God, God, forgive your people. And God says, I've got a plan. I've got a solution for you. And so God instructs Moses to take a serpent and build a bronze serpent, an image of a snake. And he says, put it on a pole and take that pole out to the middle of the camp of everybody and put that pole way high up in the air so that way anybody who is ever bitten by one of these deadly snakes, if they would just look upon this bronze snake in the wilderness elevated to a high position, they would be healed and they wouldn't die. It's a real peculiar story because they're praying for salvation. They're praying for redemption. If it was God that brought the snakes, why didn't God just recall the snakes? Like, hey, come on. All right, you did your job. Let's go. Yeah. But rather, he had them fashion this snake and elevate it high. And so now Jesus, thousands of years later, comes back and says to Nicodemus, just like Moses lifted up that snake, that bronze image of a snake, in the wilderness. He said, so must the Son of Man, and the Son of Man was what Jesus referred to himself as, so must the Son of Man, so must I be lifted up, be elevated, be exalted. And he goes on, he says, whoever would believe would have everlasting life. You see, looking back at this kind of odd story in the Bible is the serpent was a type. It was a foreshadow of Jesus. We look back at this and this was the imagery of salvation. If we would just look upon, we would be saved. If we would just believe in, we would be saved and find salvation. And so Jesus is giving the imagery of salvation. And I believe what Jesus is saying is he's saying to Nicodemus, the very essence of the creation of humanity is this. If I would be lifted high, Jesus says. See, I believe the purpose for each and every one of us here on earth, all the way back from Genesis when God said about Adam, let us make man in our image. And he fashioned man out of the dust and he did what he did to no other creature on earth. He breathed his breath of life into humanity. He created humanity for a reason, for a purpose of existence. And now Jesus, I believe, is telling Nicodemus that I have come that humanity could fulfill their existence here on earth with a reason, and our reason, our purpose, our existence here on earth is to elevate Jesus in our lives so that we might elevate Jesus through our lives. You see, the whole purpose that we exist on earth is to exalt, to bring high, to elevate Jesus Christ in our lives to a position in which he is designated to be in our lives. And so Jesus is simply telling Nicodemus the purpose of humanity. But the thing I see and the thing I noticed as I was reading this, when Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, like that serpent, the imagery is the serpent was held high upon a stick where people could see it, is that there are so many things in this world in which we live. There are so many things that come at us from every direction that present itself as a solution to the problems of our lives, as the answer to our desires, as a sense of hope that if we would just grab a hold of, if we would just adopt, or if we would just adapt, or if we would just grab a hold of, or if we would buy or purchase or dress this way or own this thing or follow this trend, that we would find fulfillment and purpose in our lives. I mean, anytime you turn on the television and you see a commercial, somebody is selling you a solution to a problem. And they spend billions of dollars every year convincing you they have an answer. I was just thinking about this last week. I was cleaning the windows in my house. It's a very rare occasion that I do that. But I was cleaning the windows in my house and I was looking at the Windex bottle that I was holding. And I thought it was really amazing. I studied marketing in college and I thought it was really amazing. On the Windex bottle, we're talking about window cleaner, right? It said new and improved limited time only formula. Like, if you don't get this Windex right now, your windows will never be as clean as they possibly can right now. You better go to the store, get that Windex because it's limited. See, but everything comes at us with a solution, with an answer, with something that we don't have that we need. When you look at social media, when you look at society, when you look at culture, there's always something that if we could just get a hold of that, if we could just get a hold of this, if we could just be like that, if we could just be like this, then our lives would be better and our lives would be fulfilled. And the problem is that as so many things come at us from so many different directions, everything becomes eye level with us. And Jesus goes from being the only hope of humanity to just another source of hope to humanity. That your hope might be in that diet or that doctor or that prognosis or that plan or that product, but rather than our hope is in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. And what happens in our lives is because so many things bombard us as solutions, Jesus remains at eye level with all of the different things on earth that present themselves to be answers to our problems. Sure, on paper, every one of us would probably say, yeah, I want to exalt Jesus. I want to elevate Jesus. Oh man, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. We would all probably agree in some form or fashion. But when you look at practice versus theory, so often we say, in theory, Jesus is, but when we take an honest look at our lives, I'm sure that each and every one of us, myself included, can find areas of our lives in which Jesus is nothing but eye level to all the other solutions on earth. I think about it like this. A couple of days ago, I went with my family to SeaWorld. I'm not a real big fan of amusement parks. I just don't like being crowded into lines, into crowded, and especially SeaWorld, because I love the place. It's cool. It's great. It's wonderful. It's entertaining. I just don't like big crowds, and every time I've ever been to SeaWorld, it's always been hot, and it's always been crowded. And I haven't been probably for a decade or so. And my wife, she's been going. She bought that year-long pass or whatever. She says, babe, you gotta go. It's Christmas break. Tomorrow it's supposed to rain. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be cloudy. It's gonna be overcast. Nobody's gonna be there because they're all going somewhere else. And so I'm like, all right, you got me. I'm gonna go. So sure enough, I show up to SeaWorld, and what is it? It's like 95 degrees, and every person in California is at SeaWorld. I'm like, babe, you're not selling me on this place. And we went and saw this show, you know, where the big black fish jumps out of the water and everybody's like, ooh, fish jumped out of water. It's wow, it's amazing. Whatever. And as we were coming out of the stadium that was filled to capacity, I had to go get the stroller that the kids were in. And my wife, she was with her mother-in-law who just had surgery. So she was in a wheelchair with her little brother and my sister Kim and her kids. They were all over on the side. So I walked over to where the strollers were parked and I grabbed the stroller and I looked across the crowd and I caught a glimpse of Stacy into where I needed to go. So I grabbed that stroller and I started walking over to Stacy to where I saw her, saw where she was. And when I got to where Stacy was at, she wasn't there anymore. And I was looking around, I was trying to find her, but everything was at eye level, and I couldn't see her through the crowd. So what did I do? I went over to the side of the walkway, and I got up on a stool. I got up on a bench, and there, with the elevation gain that I had, I could clearly spot my wife in the crowd, and she could clearly see me through the midst of the crowd. And I believe that's God's designated position in our life, is there are so many things that come at us eye level that if we don't make Jesus above eye level, that we will miss out on God's designated purpose for our life. You see, if our reason for existence is to elevate Jesus in our lives so that we might elevate Jesus through our lives, I believe that if we don't elevate Jesus in our lives, we will be ineffective at elevating him through our lives. And that's why the followers of Jesus are oftentimes branded hypocrites and bigots and religious zealots and thus, because we miss out on the purpose in which we exist. There was a rich young ruler or a lawyer that came to Jesus and kind of tried to ask him a trick question in Matthew, I think it's the 23rd chapter. He said, what's the greatest of all of the commandments in your word, in God's word? And Jesus says, well, that's an easy question. I was paraphrasing. That's easy. He says, the greatest of all commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But then I love this. He adds a comma to his thought. And he says, and the second, I didn't ask what the second was, but Jesus says, they go hand in hand. It's not an exclamation point. It's a comma. And he says, and the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. You see, we all want to live meaningful lives here on earth. Life is short. There's only so much time that we have. And if life becomes all about business, becomes all about building an empire, about gathering vacation hours and good experiences and great memories and all the different things and the nice cars and the nice house and the nice clothes and then all the friends, then we miss out on the very purpose, the very essence of why we were created and put on this earth. What are we here for? To elevate God in our lives, that we might elevate God through our lives. Because at the end of your life, that business empire will pass to somebody else. At the end of your life, that car, that house, those clothes, those possessions will be destroyed by moth and by rust and by decay. Someday, California might even get the big one and wash into the sea like all of America thinks. And then where's that house and that car and all that? And in Jesus' name we believe no. But you see, our purpose in life is to elevate Jesus in us, that we might elevate Jesus through us. That people would see us and not see all the things that we have, all the things that we've done, all the memories and experiences that we've had, the great vacations and the possessions and the families and the friends, but they would see Jesus in us because we've elevated Jesus above eye level in our life. So that in a way, no matter where we are, like Jesus said to that pole, no matter where they were in the camp, they could see that serpent high and lifted up. That is exactly what God wants for us, is to put that position of Jesus above eye level, that we might look no matter where we are in life, so that we don't have to ask, God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand why it's going like this. Why am I not getting the answer? Why are things not working out? Why is everything a big hot mess in my life? And God just says, if you just elevate Jesus in your life, you would clearly see the hope of humanity, the hope of your life, the answer, the only answer to your life. Everything else is waste and not. So as we think about 2017, and as you examine your life, and I hope you will, and as you try to set those resolutions to diet or to cut back on TV or to read or to pick up a new hobby or to learn a new skill or to do something, to spend time more with loved ones, I hope you do that. I hope that you would be serious about that, and I hope you would follow through with that through the course of this year. But as you look at your life and as you examine what is it in my life that I want to improve on, I want to challenge you, would you make the greatest resolution you possibly could make on this January 1st of 2017? And would you ask yourself the question, what can I do to elevate Jesus in my life? What can I do to elevate Jesus in my life? I believe if you'd be honest, I believe that if you really look at your life, you say, you know what? There's areas, Pastor Luke, where Jesus is high and lifted up on my life. But if you'd look at your life, I bet you'd find certain areas, certain places in which Jesus is only eye level. I know in my own life, there are areas in which God is speaking to my heart to say, you need to lift Jesus higher in this area. And you need to lift Jesus higher in this area of your life. And trust in me more than everything else around you. And I'm not going to give you four or five different good ideas on how to lift Jesus in your life. I think those are great ideas and oftentimes are very, very helpful, but not always the how-tos work. I remember I read a book last year called If How-Tos Worked, We'd All Be Skinny, Beautiful, and Rich. So I'm not going to tell you how to elevate Jesus in your life. Why? Because based on your own experiences, based on your own season, based on your own position right now, I believe if you'd ask God, He'd tell you the areas of your life. But maybe it starts with something simple. Maybe it starts with just picking up your Bible and actually reading it this year. Wow, who'd have thought? Maybe it starts by attending church on a more regular basis and listening to what God wants to do in your life. Maybe it starts by turning off the pop music in your radio on the way to work or the country music and putting on a praise CD or a worship CD and just spending some time on the road and say, God, here I am. Speak to me while I'm captivated in this car. Tell me what you want in my life. Tell me what I can do in my life. Maybe it's joining a service servant group here at the church and getting involved in a ministry, doing something for the kingdom of God. What I do know is this. There's promises in God's word. One in Jeremiah, one in James. Jeremiah tells the people of God, if you would search for God with all of your heart, you'll find him. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, if you would draw near to God, he'll meet you where you're at. He'll draw near to you. If you were to take an honest, introspective look at your life and ask yourself the question, what can I do to elevate Jesus in my life? I believe with all of my heart, God will speak to you. Why? Because he wants you to fulfill the reason and the purpose you are here on earth to fulfill. To elevate Jesus in your life, that you might elevate him through your life. Paul paints this interesting perspective in Philippians in the second chapter. Verse number 9, Paul's writing to this church at Philippi in this letter, and Paul says that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name above every other name, the name at which every knee should bow, every knee on earth, every knee in heaven, and every knee under the earth. That means every knee in every realm, physical and spiritual, will bow to the name of Jesus. You know what's so cool is we look at that verse and we say, man, praise God. There's going to be a day when Jesus has his victory and everybody's going to acknowledge and declare that Jesus is the Son of God. That day is going to come. Let me tell you something. I believe that day has come. I believe we're living in this day right now. You see, this is God's designated position for his Son, Jesus Christ. I think of it like this. Back in the day when I was in high school, I played hockey. I remember we'd play hockey and we'd have our practices, and at the end of the practice, the coach would call all of us skaters over, all of us players over, and he'd say, hey, everybody gather around, and we'd all go out on the rink and he'd say, take a knee. And what'd we do? We'd all get down on our knee and he'd come out into the middle of that crowd. And in the middle of that team, all 24 of us or so, he'd start talking to us. You guys need to skate harder. You guys need to push. Defense, you need to pick it up over here. And offense, you need to look at where the puck is going and not where it is and all these different things. And he would do what coaches did. But what I thought about that is every time he would tell us and he would talk to us, he would say, take a knee. And every time we took a knee, what we were doing is we were decreasing our elevation so that his elevation was increased and that our focus and our attention was fixated upon what he had to say and not how we were feeling at the very moment. I believe Paul is talking about the very position the world must take. The reason for our existence is that we must take a position and to decrease our elevation so that Jesus's elevation would increase in our life and that he would no longer be seen at eye level with every other solution in life, but rather we would see clearly the elevation of Jesus, the answer, the bright and morning star, the Son of God, the only hope of humanity would be clear and visible, invisible to our lives. See, I think what happens is we get it backwards. We want to elevate Jesus through our lives so that we might elevate him in our lives. And we get wrapped up in mission, and we get wrapped up in intention, and we get wrapped up in agenda. The world needs to know about Jesus, and you got to get out of here and tell somebody about him. And I agree with that wholly. But the thing about our culture, the thing about our society that we've been trained to see right through a sales pitch, right through an agenda. And so when we go hoping to elevate God through our lives, but we've not yet elevated him in our lives, we go empty and we go with an agenda and we go with an intention and we go with a mission and people see right through that. But I believe this, if we would just focus on what's important, elevating Jesus in our lives. I believe this with all of my heart, and I submit it to you, that I believe if you would just focus on elevating Jesus in your life, that he would provide for you the opportunities to elevate him through your life. Without agenda, without mission, without intention, people would look at you and they would not see you, but they would see him. Like John the Baptist said, when his ministry was coming to an end and Jesus was just beginning, John said, I must decrease so that he would increase. The only thing I ask for you today is, what can you do? Not just this week, not just this month. What can you do this year as a resolution to be resolved and unwavering about, to elevate Jesus in your life, that he would provide an opportunity that you might elevate him through your life to others? Would you make that resolution? Would you look and be honest with yourself and say, where are the areas in my life that I need to elevate Jesus so that I might elevate him through this area of my life? One of the things that we do here at the church in January, our leadership team and some of the volunteers here, ministry servers here, what we do is we like to take some time in January to fast. What is fasting? It's kind of this weird concept in which we forego something, whether it be a meal, whether it be a certain food group for a certain amount of time, a day, a week, the month, whatever it might be. Fast desserts, or we fast sodas or coffee or meat, or maybe you just want to fast vegetables and we take that time, and we take that which we're foregoing and leaving, and whenever we think about that dessert, or whenever we think about that soda, whenever we think about that meal, we take that time to pray, to seek after God, and to ask God, God, I'm giving this up for you for this amount of time in my life, that you would speak to me, quiet my soul, speak to me, what can I do to elevate Jesus in my life? And I just want to extend the invitation to you this year. Would you join with us in the month of January and maybe fast a lunch, or fast for a week, a meal, or a food group, or maybe you want to fast social media or television or something like that? You can do that, but just to give up something for a certain amount of time and use the time that you would to do that to give to God. Say, God, what can I do to elevate you in my life? Because I want to live my purpose. I want to live why I'm created here. I want a life that really means something when I die. And it's not about collecting things. It's not about hoarding things. It's about legacy. It's about building Jesus in my life and through my life. I believe if you do that, he'll meet you right where you're at. In 2017, regardless of what 2016 would be, 2017 will be a year of breakthrough in your life. God's going to do something great if you to elevate him in your life. Will you do it? Will you look and will you ask, what can I do to elevate Jesus in my life? Amen? Did you guys get something out of that this morning?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.